We good? Thanks, Paul. It's very quiet in here. How are you guys doing today? Good. My name is Christopher Wallach. I'm a solutions architect with the Enterprise Communication Center of Excellence with Microsoft. Today we're going to talk about Microsoft Link Server Topology. And really what we're looking at is, I'm going to talk a lot more business side. There's going to be a lot of technical stuff in here, but I really want to get to the point where one of the things I want you to take away from this is to identify the business drivers that are identifying those technical requirements. So to illustrate that, several years ago, I had attended the Gartner UC Summit. There's a lot of keynote speakers. It was very large, it was in Orlando. And the one that made the most had the largest impact on me, what I call, he gave me a golden nugget, was a white-haired gentleman who was the CIO of a nationally recognized university. And the very first thing he said when he got up on the stage was, "Thank you for having me here. It's a real blessing, and it's a blessing for me to be here." He said the first thing that he wanted us to know in the audience was that everybody in this audience is so old that his students think that we should be dead. And we all laughed. That was pretty funny. And he said, "You are enablers of technology, but you're not enablers of technology, you're enablers of business process. My students of today will come to you and you'll be their employers of tomorrow. They have already invented or they've already consumed ways of communication that you don't even know about. And when they come to your companies, they're going to do one of two things. They're going to find it there. I should say one of three things. They're going to find the method that they use to communicate there, and they will flourish. If they don't find it, they'll try and install it themselves. And if they can't, they'll leave." And that really resonated with me. So over the years, one of the precepts, I guess, that golden nugget that I talk about, is really as enablers of business, the drivers that make the business go, we, in a communication setting, should be enabling the end user to communicate in their method of choice from wherever they are. So how does that apply to what we're doing today? Communications technology is very difficult. It's not easy, and it's not simple. As we put these things together, shoehorn them together to facilitate that end user's experience, oftentimes we bring to this table decisions that are made on our, right, things that we want to do as opposed to things that the business wants. So through this session, one of the things that I'll be constantly referring to is business drivers, technical requirements. Business drivers and technical requirements. So today, I want to encourage you to begin at the beginning. Look at the feature comparisons, you're going to come here, or you go to this decision-making process with an understanding of what your business wants. And if you don't, take a step back, meet with your business, and really get to the point of what are their drivers, what are they hoping to get at, and not just today, not just what the pain points are today, but really, where are they going tomorrow, a year and a half from now, 3 years, and 5 years? What is your strategy? So we're going to look at the initial planning considerations. How do I go on-prem? Why should I go on-prem? Why should I go online? Can I do both? We're going to look at the different various link topologies, what they are and why they matter. We're going to look at the tenant, single-tenant, multi-tenant, on-prem, hosted. Some of you in the audience may be service providers, and you're looking for guidance on how to better provision your service offering to those customers. We'll talk very briefly about that. We'll talk about the Office 365 multi-tenant, which is online shared. We'll talk about Office 365 dedicated. And then we're going to look at the topology choices and then things that are not supported and just not best practice. And then we're going to go to a summary. I'd like to hold a Q&A to the very end. And I'm going to do something different. rather than me stand up here and have the question and answer kind of thing, what I found it was beneficial was have a more interactive Q&A. So what I'm going to do is take about the last 5 to 10 minutes of the presentation. We're going to turn the mics off, come up together, and we'll have a dialogue. So I think that's a lot more productive. It has been in my experience. How's that sound? Sound good? All right. So link features. What features are required? So again, I want to get back to, you know your requirements, you know your strategy, where your business is going, and the next step is to discover, you know, what makes best sense based on those requirements. So we're going to go over the features as they relate to the various workloads. So we're going to look at I'm in presence, we're going to look at conferencing, and we're going to look at voice specifically. So, as you say, and we're going to then juxtapose the link server, which is the reference to on-prem, to online. And when I say link online, realize this is the multi-tenant or the link online shared, or Office 365 shared multi-tenant. So, for an IAM in presence perspective, you look at things like rich presence, peer-to-peer. I don't need to read all of these things, federation, but you see there's not a great deal of disparity. In fact, there's a great deal of parity, so that you can get what's online based on IAM presence than what you can on-prem. There's a couple of differences, XMPP gateway. The key word there is gateway. Generally, anytime you have a gateway, you're gonna have to be on-prem. Persistent chat, just not something that's offered up in Link Online. If you have a requirement, a technical requirement driven from that business driver for persistent chat, you're gonna wanna be on-prem or in a hybrid environment. And then federation, with not just federation in general, but federation with certain providers that aren't supported PIC anymore. So for meetings, conferences, this is what's really interesting. Link Online has almost complete parity with Link On-Prem, with the exception of the PSTN dial-in meetings, and then the meeting sizes. Now, I would suggest that if your corporate strategy is to go to a cloud and you think this may be a deal breaker from a requirements perspective that you need a larger single meeting size of 250 users, qualify that. Qualify that requirement. Challenge it. Because it's been our experience that very large meetings, and again, you could have that requirement. You could be doing very large meetings all day long. But what I'm saying is challenge that requirement. The PSD and dial-in meetings, Link Online, so ACP stands for Authorized Conferencing Provider, and that list has been published for, let's say, 3 years now, and there have been names on that list, businesses on that list that have come and gone. I believe right now the only name on that list is Intercall. It's published online. It's readily available. Voice. And this is really where the rubber meets the road. We talk about peer-to-peer, PSTN dialing, and really the thing to know about online as opposed to on-prem, if you need PSTN egress, if you're going to make phone calls out into the publicly switched telephone network, you're going to need an on-prem solution for that. Now, Office 365 dedicated is different, and we'll get into that at the end here. But it's important to know, see, there's actually a lot of disparity here. So peer-to-peer, PSTN calling, E911, call hold transfer, all of those call control, it's not something you're gonna get on Link Online. Now, is that to say it's either or? No, you could do both. So, now that we've understand what the general features are and the workloads that are present, where do we go? You know, now I speak to a lot of, this is where I meet a lot of customers. My job in the Enterprise Communications Center of Excellence is I don't sell anything, I don't deploy, I meet with customers, and we talk about the details of implementing solutions and driving better end user experiences. So I meet with a lot of customers. And this conversation generally begins with thinking about, you know, we're at OCS 2007 or 2, we're gonna rev up, We don't know, should we go link online? Should we go link on-prem? How does that all work? Or conversation begins, I've got a lot of legacy PBXs all over the world, and I want to replace those. And we have a corporate mandate to go to the cloud. How do we do that? So that's where we go from here. So generally, the thing to understand is that I understand all of you, just by show of hands, who here is going to do a greenfield or a brand new implementation of Link that consider yourself blessed? Because it's not the normal. That's a fantastic situation to be in because you're creating net new. And there's generally no legacy. You don't have to do the shoehorning. And it's the shoehorning which is the magic. It's the interoperability and the integration. Most deployments have some sort of integration, as I just mentioned, with some kind of ancillary system, whether that be a PBX or, say, an online conferencing provider, something in there that you're going to need to integrate or interrupt. That's that shoehorning that I'm talking about. So your initial planning decisions, when you have your business drivers, you've identified your technical requirements based on those business drivers, which also includes security, you're asking yourself, does my company have a corporate mandate to go to the cloud or a strategy to go to the cloud, statements of direction, that kind of thing? Do we do physical servers or are we a virtualized shop from thinking about on-prem? The thing to note there is that regardless of the way that you virtualize, it really depends on the hardware that's hosting your virtual environment and then the load that you're placing against that hardware. So that can get quite complex. From a conferencing perspective, are you doing web conferencing? Are you doing audio video conferencing? Are you doing ad hoc conferencing? You know, three people or more getting together. All that can be done on Link Online. You can do web conferencing online with a conferencing provider and call people externally. We're going to talk about a thing called business voice in a little bit. That kind of sounds like Link Online voice, but we'll talk about that. High availability and disaster recovery. Do you have service level targets or service level objectives that are in stone? In other words, you've told your service consumer, your end user, thou shalt have 3 nines, 4 nines, 5 nines of uptime. We will not take the system down offline. You will not lose service. Or when you do, we're going to bring that service back up in X amount of time, mean time to recovery. Those are important things to take into consideration. Now, Link Online publishes the reason that the controls are placed on Link Online Shared is specifically because of their service level targets. So initial planning decisions also incorporate, do you want your users to communicate and collaborate with external users? Now, this could be instant messaging. This could be shared presence. Do you want to openly federate and allow your users to show their presence externally? Do you want to allow your users to call phone numbers externally? All of these different types of communications over the edge will make that determination of, do I do on-prem, online, or hybrid? So I have a subset of users, for instance, that don't necessarily need enterprise voice. They just need those things, and they could be on Link Online, which is going to be financially a better decision. Do you have Microsoft Exchange deployed? Is it on-prem? Is it Office 365? Is it Office 365 shared or dedicated? Is it hosted by a service provider, not Office 365? All of these things are the planning decisions you have to ask yourself. What are those interoperability points? And then branch offices. Everybody generally has a branch office, but is that branch office connected by way of redundant WAN links? Do your branch office users consume voice? Do they have local PSTN breakout? Do they go over the internet? All of those decisions go into where you're going to go with your design, your reference topology, the one you're going to begin with, or topology. So Sardar Soysal is with Microsoft, and he created this platform. Come on up, or he speak from there. So he's going to address this. This is a great thing.
Thank you, Chris. So sorry if I'm kind of at an angle here. So I'm part of a I'm part of Office Content Publishing Group, and we are focusing on cross-platform, cross-product integration solutions. And in addition to the solution documentation, we are also creating these technical overview illustrations, and this is one of the things that we put together, the platform options, kind of like a conversation starter or a framed discussion when you're planning your new Link deployment. It kind of gives an overview of all the different options you have, including the ideal scenarios for each one, and what the license requirements are, what you need to do as an architect when you're designing the solution, and what the day-to-day IT pro responsibilities are. And we also have the Exchange and SharePoint versions of these as well. Then they're all available at the Download Center. And I can answer any questions around these. And I have 3 hard copies if you're interested. You know, first come, first serve, come and get it.
Thank you, sir. So this is fantastic. And the reason why I wanted to call this out and I wanted Sardar to talk about this was that this in one page talks about, at a very high level, everything that I've been talking about this week with regard to Link Online, Link On-Prem, hybrid, you know, what are the different topologies that are useful and where we're going to go for it. So we talk about topology. We talk about reference architecture. Who here's heard the term reference architecture? Okay. Language, words mean things. And so I'm of a kind of person that when I hear an acronym, I want to know what that means. You know, there's acronyms that get thrown around all over the place, especially at Microsoft. So I wanted to come to an agreement between us today on when I say topology, what I'm talking about. So there's a variety of different definitions between, you know, Webster's. I reference Webster's. I like their second definition. You know, topology is defined as the configuration of or design of an organism or system. It's pretty good. At Microsoft, we define it as a configuration formed by the connection between devices on a local area network or between two or more local area networks. As that relates to Link or any kind of communication system that you're putting in, it is the design, the reference architecture by which you begin, and then the detailed design that you build off of that reference architecture as you proceed. Because, as I've said before, Link is not simple. Communications is not simple. Telephony is not simple. It is complex. However, there's a lot of things that are common amongst all of them. And those commonality or those items of commonality that is where we get our reference architecture. That's where you begin from. So we know you're going to have a front end. We know you might have a front end pool. We know you're going to have a back end. We know you may have an edge, probably will have an edge. So all of these things, we know that there's various different components that you will have. I call it the cookie cutter recipe. In a reference architecture, we talk about product line architecture. And all this is the cookie cutter recipe. This is a point for where you begin. Take that reference architecture, and then you can overlay it on your environment and use that as a guide to flesh it out, get the details. So deployment options. As I've said, there are 3 deployment options with Link. You can go on-prem, or what we're now calling Link Server. You can go into the cloud, Office 365 shared or dedicated, or you can do both. And you can join the two together in a hybrid configuration. So a hybrid configuration is simply some of your users are on-prem, some of your users are on Office 365 Link Online, but they share the same domain name. So from your end user's perspective, there shouldn't be that much difference between the two. With the caveat of those requirements about if you need to be on-prem for PSTN breakout and that kind of thing. And really, where this gives you, or where this puts you, is in a place of enabling a gradual migration and coexistence. And I'll be talking in a bit about temporal state of coexistence or permanent state of coexistence, depending on your needs. So we're going to begin Link on-prem, Link server. And the question here is, when should I deploy Link on-prem? And the guidance here is that an on-premise deployment is best when you have full, when you need those full enterprise voice capabilities. If you're doing a PBX interop, if you're doing PSTN, you know, egress from your, you need to have PSTN egress, you need to be able to call your mom at home from your Link client, you're going to need to do on-prem. Media quality controls, things like call admission control or quality of service, that you're going to do on-prem. Persistent chat is another one. If you have a requirement for persistent chat, you're going to do it on-prem. I had a question earlier this week from a gentleman who came up and asked about client. So if I have, if I want to go to Link Online and I'm at Link 2010 client or an OCS version or OCS R2 client, can I change the client policy like I can online or like I can on-prem? The answer is no, you can't. And the reason for that is Office 365 Shared guarantees a service level target of 3 nines. You will have 3 nines of service. To do that, they have to lock down the environment and offer those services that they know they can meet that service level target. And to do that, they have to remove complexity. And so by removing complexity, they're removing your ability to do certain things or from an administration standpoint. So that's kind of a key thing to know. Third-party server applications. So Link 2013 has the Microsoft Unified Communications Management API, UCMA. Show of hands, who has played around with UCMA? What'd you think? It was kind of cool, huh? Yeah. So part of also another hat that I wear in my job is defining, or not necessarily defining, looking into what we call the art of the possible. What can we do? So you probably heard of communications-enabled business process. That's what we term, you know, the art of the possible. What can we do? From video banking, where you can walk into a bank in Germany now and do video banking with a banker and get an auto loan, home loan, what have you, soon to be online. You can walk into a car rental place, and instead of walking up and seeing a teller, you walk up to a kiosk, and the screen comes on, and there's a teller's face there. Who rented a car from Hertz? Anybody? So you've seen that. Yeah, so that's kind of the art of the possible. Medical, with the new three-dimensional Link Online rooms, excuse me, not Link Online, the new three-dimensional Link rooms, you can present a three-dimensional image interactively in front of you. And if you need that link, come see me afterwards and I'll shoot it to you. So these are things that you want to continue to look at and are, you know, where an on-premise deployment is best. So complete control over policies, that's what I was telling you about, client policies, monitoring reports, or any kind of upgrades. Because again, when you go online, when you consume from the cloud, really what you're saying is, I'm in the business of manufacturing widgets. I'm not in the business of providing instant messaging, email, phone service, telephony, what have you, voice. So I want to focus on my business. I don't want to focus on the technology. And in fact, the industry has shown that the IT budgets over the last 10 years have continuously decreased, whereas the lines of business or the business budgets have been taking that on. So technology is now more of a business need than it is of a technology. So we don't implement technology for technology's sake. We implement technology to drive a bit, you know, to meet a business driver or business requirement. If you can't tell, I've been talking a lot this week. So those are some of the decisions based on, again, the business that you're going to carry forward with. So Link on-premises forest model, you be self-managed Link configuration. This is where you want to, I'm going to do my own administration, my own configuration, because I need control. Are you regulated? Are you a business that has very, very tight security? In fact, you don't even connect to the internet. These are some of the things that, you know, you're going to need to take into consideration. So the AD topologies are supported on-prem, would be a single AD forest, which is very, very common, where your resources and your users, the resources that are serving up those link services and your users are in the same Active Directory forest. A link resource forest scenario, where you have one user forest and one resource forest, is also quite common. Resource forest is a term that's kind of going out. It's been around for a while. But it's something that maybe 5-7 years ago, a lot of companies really started to do because it makes a lot of sense, whether it be from an administration perspective or because as that business grows, their lines of business require different schema updates than the regular user population, or they might conflict, that kind of thing. So a resource forest of 5 or 7 years ago is really where the online cloud movement went to. So a link resource forest with multiple, and I'm going to say two user forests, fully supported topologies for link on-prem and Exchange on-prem, or link on-prem and Exchange online. So you can have link in your data center on-prem and Office 365 for Exchange. That's fully supported. In fact, when I was working at Microsoft deploying Wave 14 or Link 2010 in pre-alpha, we were looking at, okay, well, gosh, how are we going to interface? How are we going to do this? Well, Office 365 is in beta at that time as well. So we had to figure that out. So here's an example of a single AD forest model. And again, very basic. This is where your users and your link resources exist within the same topology. And notice the edge that is there. Single resource and user forest scenario. This is getting a little bit more complex. This is where, and again, this is your, you're doing this out of your data center. This is not something that you're consuming somewhere else. Where the users are homed in a separate forest, you have a one-way forest trust from the resource forest to the user forest, and you're using something like Forefront Identity Manager and directory synchronization. So considerations and guidance for that particular scenario. This can be used to provide a shared infrastructure for services and organizations that have a requirement to manage or administer different resources. You know, if you're, again, I was talking about your business, your lines of business applications that have different security requirements, or you have users that have different security requirements. In the example of, well, the next slide is going to be the example of that. Companies that need to isolate Active Directory for security reasons. You have very tight regulatory controls so that you need to isolate or segregate from an administrative perspective the people that actually administer your Active Directory as opposed to the people who administer any kind of application service that's running in the forest. So this is a single resource forest and two user forests. This is getting kind of a larger organization. And this topology is used to provide a shared infrastructure, again, same as the one before. It's a little bit more complex in that you have multiple synchronizations of user objects and group objects, and all of that has to be kept in place, let's put it that way. So one of the things we found as we were deploying Link 2010 in Office 365 beta was when we did this with our dog food forests, the DirSync got all whacked out. I mean, so for instance, I would change an attribute on user object, say the telluri, I would come back the next day, DirSync would happen, and it would be back to where it was. So we had to figure out, okay, well, how does this all fit together? And this is really what we're talking about is you're going to use the directory synchronization, and this is a much more complex. But again, this is fully supported. It's a scenario where you may have, for regulatory reasons, say it's a financial institution, you have two different financial entities, and because of a, say, a SOX requirement, they have to be separate. Not only do they have to be separate, but their data has to be separate as well. So considerations and guidance, it's very similar, as I said, to the single user forest model. It's a lot more complex. Now, one of the things I'm going to talk about towards the end, and what I talked about at the beginning very briefly, was the idea of simplicity. I've said many times that Link is not simple, and it's complex and it's difficult. So whenever you add something to design, I'm kind of giving away the Lynn part here, just think about simplicity. Whenever you're considering, you're going through this decision-making process of which, how I'm going to lay topology or how I'm going to implement Link as a service to my end users or my service consumers, think about simplicity and try to reduce complexity. Every single element or configuration item within that design must have a technical requirement. That's just my advocacy to you. So Link on-prem and Exchange Online, again, this is a very simple diagram that shows that this is something that's very supported. It's also very common, very, very common. So when should I consider an online deployment? And again, as we went through those consideration, you know, the decision-making steps, the consideration things that were going on, you can see that you quickly look at the feature sets and you can say, well, say for instance I have an on-site PBX. I don't need Enterprise Voice. We just bought the PBX, but we really need all of the other rich presence and the instant messaging and the peer-to-peer audio and the conferencing, and we need all that. That might be a viable instance for Link Online. So a Link Online deployment is best, again, when your enterprise voice is not required. When I say enterprise voice, that is synonymous with PSD and egress. Media quality controls are not required, and then persistent chat is not required. So again, we're kind of going back to those requirements. The Link Online multi-tenant, Office 365 Shared, is the Microsoft public cloud offering, and I've mentioned that before. Link Online topologies that are supported are the Link Online with Exchange Online. Really, you're going to see this as Office 365. So the day will come, maybe not soon, but the day will come when it becomes very modular, and you're saying, well, I want instant messaging presence and exchange, I want email, and I want Yammer, SharePoint, all these different things. You just check the boxes, and that's what I get. That's the online experience. Link Online and Exchange Online, except for unified messaging, in this particular scenario, unified messaging and exchange archiving is not supported. Voice in the cloud. Voice in the cloud. So business voice, there's been a lot of talk over the last year and a half, 2 years, about hybrid voice, Link Online voice. So this was hybrid voice, if you've heard of that terminology or heard of that offering, was discontinued in August of 2013. But people, customers, are still coming to us and saying, we want to be able to use Link Online. We want to be able to call our customers and interact with our customers. So business voice is an enterprise voice. Excuse me, scratch enterprise. I have to be very clear here. Business voice is a voice feature for Link Online that has PSD and egress in the cloud. We have partner carriers that when you sign up for business voice, you'll have a limited subset of features that you'll be able to dial out with. It's very similar to Link Online voice. The major difference here, and this is something you need to take away, is that Link Online voice, or hybrid voice they used to call it, your online users would have been EV-enabled, and they were using resources on your on-prem. That's not supported. That part's not supported. So we really needed to have something that filled that gap. Syndication partners, so these are previously called Link to Phone, same kind of thing. So we have the syndication partners that are going to be facilitating this business voice. So Link Online is a unique tenant that can only exist in one Microsoft data center. And this is important to bear out. If you have multiple regional view of users that need to consume Office 365 Link Online in other words, a shared environment, which we call Link Online, you're going to need to have multiple tenants in those different regions. Doesn't provide quality of service, call emission control. And so some complex topologies in Link Online are single user forest with multiple, again, right there, I just said multiple Office 365 tenants, one per region, and then multiple user forests with multiple Office 365 tenants. And this is that complexity thing I was talking about. So what's not supported in scenarios with Link Online is multiple on-prem user forests with a single Office 365 tenant. And why is that? Because of the common domain. So this is a very simple graphic of the Link Online in the general scenario, where you see the users are on the right-hand side, or I should say the user base, user force on the right-hand side, and they're using the directory synchronization for Office 365, single tenant. So Link Hybrid, remember, hybrid is where you have some users online, some users on-prem, it's common domain name, and we kind of bind those together. When should I consider a hybrid deployment? Well, quite frankly, when you have requirements for both. And when I say requirements for both, if you have requirements for both, you can very well do everything Link on-prem. So why go to Office 365 Link Online? What is the driver? Well, quite frankly, it's ease of use, ease of administration, and cost. If you can provision people on Link Online, they're consuming a service that you don't have to provide servers for, HVAC, electricity, not to mention uptime, patching, community updates, all of that. So it's a cost reduction to have your users in Link Online. And so you can, in the hybrid environment, you can have those users that need that PSTN breakout. Link 2013 hybrid deployments. Server deployment, remember I said, is Link Online, Link On-Prem. So the Office 365 directory synchronization, you'll need Active Directory Federation services. You'll need the Link 2013 admin interface. You'll need the Link 2013 pool for hybrid voice features. So that's set up for your online users. Can you do, another question I had earlier this week was, can you do this in a state of migration? Link 2010, Link 2013, and then Link Online? The answer is yes, but our advocacy, our guidance to you is no. So, and the reason for that is the complexity. Remember, if you're on-prem, regardless if you're consuming anybody, if you have any users online, if you're in hybrid, all of your user and group, all your Active Directory administration is done on-prem. Your provisioning is done on-prem, and then it replicates online. So this goes back to the keep it as simple as you possibly can kind of thing. So the thing about coexistence between online and on-prem, you're going to, I'm in presence and conferencing. How many of you, just by show of hands, have already implemented Link of some sort? Okay. By show of hands, how many of you agree with me that Link has become the crack, right? So once I have it, I can't let it go. I have to be able to communicate this way. And so this is why we talk about planning up front, getting those decisions made, because that has been my experience as well. And all of the different customers that I've been to, I hear actually quite often, especially when it's Link 2010, or even OCS sometimes, we deployed Link into a pilot, and we started with 50 users, and they told two friends, and they told two friends, and now the user experience is terrible, right? Well, that gets into the whole planning decision. That's why we're talking about this today. So again, you've seen this slide several times. Link hybrid or split domain enables the gradual coexistence. Now, we're going to talk here a bit about being in a coexistent state temporarily or for a long period of time. And there's benefits and detriments to both. So Link hybrid or split domain is a configuration, not a topology. Only works with Office 365 multi-tenant or shared. It does not work between on-prem and Office 365 dedicated. It does not work between on-prem service provider clouds. And it does not work between service provider clouds, multiple service provider clouds. And again, why is that? Directory synchronization and domain name matching. As a permanent state, it's enterprise customers, generally enterprise customers only. You can be in a hybrid really as long as you need to be. There's no, say, you have to get off after X period of time. It's just the complexity grows, the configuration grows. Your environment grows, hopefully, because your business grows. The needs grow, the business requirements grow. And you, again, from a complexity perspective, you're asking yourself, can I do better with what I have? Part of the user population only needs basic features. Again, that gets back to the hybrid scenario where we advocate for what we call classes of service. I'm not talking about the networking classes of service. I'm talking about platinum, gold, silver, where your platinum offering that people can subscribe to, your user's base, I guess is what I'm saying, can subscribe to, would be the full-blown suite, enterprise voice, IMNP, audio-video conferencing, that kind of thing. Silver would be less. So say, for instance, you don't want enterprise voice, they just need conferencing, audio-video conferencing, and IMNP, that kind of thing. It's good to look down that route. And then you can have a provisioning process by which you enable your users. When you enable your user, you ask the question. You want platinum, silver, or gold? Do you want to supersize this? And it'll, yeah, okay, so we're going to go platinum. Video interoperability for online users and hybrid setup. Okay. Now, one of the things I'm not mentioning in these slides that you need to know is that up until last week, there was no supportability or guidance from Microsoft about going, if you have a Link Online presence, but your user has never been on-prem, to go from on-prem to online to on-prem. Now, that's very different from if you have, you're already in a hybrid environment, you've migrated your users from on-prem to online, and you want to migrate them back. That's easy peasy. That's what we do today. However, as of last week, Microsoft has released guidance, a step-by-step guide on how to take that user that's been provisioned in Link Online and move them to Link on-prem. It's very similar. There's in fact, it's almost identical, but there's guidance on that. And if you need that guidance, see me afterwards and I'll give you the link. So as a temporal state, temporary in a hybrid environment, say you have a migration scenario to the cloud. This is something you have a corporate mandate that says, we will be in the cloud by 2020, 2025, or something more aggressive, then you're going to want to provision your users Link Online. Part of the user population only needs basic features again. So you want to set up a hybrid customer needs to start on-prem first and then move to the cloud. And if, again, the guidance here is if you're in a mixed topology, if you're going from OCS to Link 2013 on-prem, if you're in a migration or from, say, a third-party system to Link, finish your migration before, if you can, finish the migration so that you're reducing the amount of complexity within the design. Hybrid voice was discontinued, so I was referring to earlier. There's no split workloads allowed. And this is what I was talking about, where your Link Online users were able to consume enterprise voice using the components, the configuration item components in your design on-prem. And that's not supported, it's been discontinued. What you may have heard is JaJa voice, the Link to phone, that was discontinued August of 2013. So business voice is going to take up for that. But understand, business voice is not your Link Online users using on-prem stuff. So we're going to go very briefly into service providers, Office 365 multi-tenant. Some of you may be a service provider, that you have a large offering that you have users or that are going to consume, much like Office 365. Single-tenant private cloud, service integrators, telcos, service providers, government agencies. It's very popular for them to actually now they generate their own services because of the security that's involved. They're doing these cloud services on their own. Current challenge to the service providers is the topology requirements. Resource four scenario is beneficial for the service provider, but it leads to three forests or more. So that added complexity or the necessity of a split domain. So there's no split domain with the service provider, and there's no guidance from Microsoft. That's where we're lacking on that. Customers that require full enterprise voice capability will want to go cloud today, have the option to go to a service provider. There are service providers out there that are offering voice online, a service that you can consume. So this is a reference topology. This is what one looks like. And I threw it in there so that we understand, you know, this is the cookie recipe that you would overlay. If you want to have 11 chocolate chips, change it. This is the starting point. In this instance, this reference topology is a link resource forest with Exchange Online. And the thing to note here is that the Exchange Online and the multiple resource forests, it gets very complex from a directory synchronization perspective. And the topology limitations here is that Exchange Unified Messaging won't work in that particular environment, and it has to do with the interoperability between the different forests, two resource forests that don't know anything about each other. And this is today. This is what's occurring today. This might be the case a year from now. Manually keep the unified messaging dial plan in sync with the link on dial plan, and then the two versions of the directory synchronization tool. And then there's no trust between link and the Exchange forests. So again, this is added complexity. And generally, when we talk to service providers, they're really, really smart people. They're doing this for a reason. Obviously, we all do this for a reason. And so there's a lot of thought bore out here. So, and if you're looking for more guidance as a service provider, you want to set up this kind of thing, again, see me afterwards and we can talk. So service provider hosted. So how do you select a service provider? Notice I didn't name any names, and I'm not going to name any names, because there's a lot of really good ones out there. Are they present in your geographical area? Do they have a service level agreement or a service level target that meets your business requirements? What is their service description? Exactly what are you getting for your money? Do they support third-party applications in that environment? And then do they have a global local support? Where's the support mechanism? Right? So now we're going to talk a little bit about Office 365 Dedicated. So up until now, whenever you heard me say link online, Office 365, it's been in a shared environment, multi-tenant environment. Who here's familiar with Office 365 Dedicated? Show of hands. Okay, a few. So back in the day, Office 365 Dedicated, we used to refer to as BPOSD. Or anyone familiar with that term? Okay, so that's BPOS, or Office 365 Dedicated, is a hosted service that is fully dedicated to you. There's no other tenants on that infrastructure. And you will see a diagram of that in just a bit. Link Online Dedicated, or Office 365 Dedicated, is a Microsoft single-tenant private cloud offering for Link. Now, this is not just for Link. This is Exchange and SharePoint as well. But they're separate offerings. So you can, if you choose, consume Office 365 Dedicated Link by itself, or Exchange by itself, or SharePoint by itself, or all three. Now, there are some limitations. It only targets customers that are over 30,000 users or 30,000 seats. Link Online Dedicated tenants can expand across multiple data centers. Office 365 Dedicated, no limitations are, there's no SBA, SBS support. There's no call of mission control allowed. There's no interconnection with on-prem PBXs, right? Except for, and you'll see in the diagram here, they'll egress out of a session border controller, an SBC. And there's no split domain on customer on-prem deployments. So if you go Office 365 Dedicated for Link, you're going Office 365 Dedicated for Link, because the interop is not supported. Link online dedicated. The topologies are supported again, the online plus online, as I mentioned before. Online, link online dedicated with exchange. I stole my own thunder. Topologies that are not supported are link online dedicated with exchange online, Office 365 shared or multi-tenant. Link online dedicated or Office 365 dedicated is what I'm calling that, with an exchange hosted by a different service provider. The mechanisms are not in place to support that. So going with the similar graphic here, this is link online dedicated PSTN connectivity options. So when you go Office 365 dedicated, you do have full enterprise voice. You have PSTN egress, conferencing, the whole suite. So you could do a cloud, SIP provider, the hybrid, or on-prem SBCs, and it's just easier to look at this. So this is a reference topology. It's a very high-level slide that references a topology for Link Online Dedicated, where you see that you have, on the left-hand side, you have the user, or the consumer. You have Office 365 D, BPOS D, in the middle. And then what this is showing you is that how your PSTN calls egress out of the cloud. So you're consuming this service, how do they get out? And this is regionally based. So if you have multiple regions, you're gonna break out in different areas. So choosing the right topology, we started this whole shindig looking at where do I go from here? Which reference topology, which design, where do I begin? And these slides are available to you if you haven't already got them. I did update this particular slide just before I came to the presentation. Not this slide, but this whole deck. So if you've downloaded this before, download it again. This slide, we talk about the supported topologies. And really, this is very good. It's kind of an eye chart, but it's really good information with regard to, you know, what is your AD topology? What is your link requirements? What are your exchange requirements? The migration path, is it supported? Is it not supported? You know, and then it will walk you through. So for instance, if we look at topology 2, so the customer and the extended to service provider cloud, physically deployed in the service provider data center, logically deployed in the customer's Active Directory location or Active Directory forest. The exchange is Office 365 dedicated. It's supported. So this is the kind of thing that you can take with you along with the chart that Sadar put together, and it's going to very quickly help you make those decisions on which design elements to include or which topologies or reference architectures to begin with. So again, choosing the right topology, this has a lot to do with your customer size, how large your user community is, how many seats that you have. Are you 5,000, 3,000, 10,000, 170,000? And then how are you going to support all that? How are you going to put it all together? Understand this, that choosing the wrong topology will have an important impact on your integration scenarios with other workloads. So this is why I say, you know, when I was in the Marine Corps many, many, many years ago, they taught us that prior planning prevents poor performance. And that's another little golden nugget that I stuck in my toolbox and I carry with me. I kind of repeat it times like this. Because what we've been talking about this whole time is looking towards the future of what you're going to do, and rather than what my kids like to do, just do it now, just do it now, just do it now, and then you get a rabbit box that kind of looks all like this, is, you know, design it first, think about it first, does it meet my requirements, and then execute. And then understand the service provider offerings, right? So there's now a migration path from Link Online to Link On-Prem, as I mentioned, and then understand your service provider offerings. So the technical requirements we talked about were enterprise voice, PSTN connectivity, do you need it, do you not need it? Remote site survivability, that's important. Because while you may only have 2,500, 150 users there, if they all go out, that becomes generally a SEV1, incident. Persistent chat, third-party call quality, we've gone over these. So your business requirements. All right, focus back on the business requirements. What is your company's strategy? And I can't stress this enough, because generally, as implementers of technology, we get very focused on what we're doing today. I had originally intended on telling you a story of 15 years ago when I built, for my church, I brought in Active Directory 2000, Exchange 2000, and I was happier than a clam. I thought it was awesome. They never used it. They never used it because it was too difficult to administer. Nobody knew that at the church, so they would call me, hey, I need to change my password. Or, so when my wife and I moved out of the area and went back, I asked them, so how's that working? Nah, we just turned it off. We're using Hotmail. So, but the key there was that one of my coworkers had told me, he was kind of a peer, you know, was newly minted system, MCSE, and he said, do you ever think about Small Business Server? No. Small Business Server? Why would I do that? They need Active Directory. They need Exchange. It was technology. It was about me. It was about me more than it was about my client or my customer. That's another little golden nugget that I've learned from my mistake, and then listen to, you know, for the right business drivers that will then give you your technical requirements. So here's some examples. And I like the little smiley faces. This slide was created by a friend of mine, Husto. He's a peer. And this, again, with the other slides, will help you understand yes, no, maybe, good, red, or green, yellow, red. So, not supported or not recommended topologies. Question that I had was, why are they smiling? Oh, you're so funny. We're going to do it anyway. So, what topologies are not supported? Link server on Windows Azure. When I say link server, link on-prem, using Windows Azure as a service. Tenant segregation with link server, not supported. Hybrid or split domain scenarios where you're using the hosting pack hybrid. So is anyone familiar with the link hosting pack? Okay, one, it's different. It's a different set of binaries. Just know that the hybrid scenario with the link hosting pack is generally not supported. And the hybrid between two link enterprises. Multiple on-prem user forest with a single Office 365 tenant. All these questions that come out, not supported. Office 365 shared tenant that expands to multiple data centers. Remember we said it's one. When I say multiple data centers, you're not hosting it, it's Microsoft. If you have multiple regions, say you have a business presence in Asia, United States and EMEA, you're gonna need different tenants because they're different data centers. And here again is the slide that's gonna show you the not supported scenarios and then why. So we're not gonna do this now. What I wanna do is I wanna go into a summary and really we're gonna talk a little bit. The questions, what I'd like to do is, normally I don't like leaving questions to the end, but what I found through this week is that it's actually more beneficial to get a more interactive conversation rather than me standing up here and one-on-one to people coming up to the mic. So when I go through the summary, we'll end the session. I'll turn my mic off and I'll stand right here. Let's all get together if you've got questions and we can go through that. I think it's better in an interactive way. So the summary really is, you know, your first major decision is how do you deploy Microsoft Link? Or not necessarily how, so do I go on-prem, online? What features and capabilities are you gonna need? What are the business drivers again? And then what is your strategy, right? Are the choices that you're making meeting that strategy, meeting that guidance? Does anybody in here speak French? Awesome. Can you say that out loud? Because I was practicing and practicing and practicing, and I will murder it. Can anybody who speaks French say that out loud? Go ahead. Yes. That's fantastic. Everyone, give me a hand. So the French speakers, what does that mean? Can you translate that? Do you know who said that? Does anybody know who said that? That was a quote from Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Did I say that name correctly? Exupéry. That's it. What he said. I took French for 2 years, and my professor said, just stop. Just go away. So who was he? So perfection is finally attained, not when there's no longer anything to add, but when there's no longer anything to take away. And the point being, and this is what I want to leave you with, when you're considering your topology, when you're considering your design, when you're considering the feature sets and everything, all configuration items that are going to go into providing this service to your user base, what I call the service consumer, only elements that are implemented are those that have a technical requirement to be there. Do not take my mistake as an example. Do not implement technology for technology's sake. Really focus on the business. So I want to thank you very much. And let's put up the resources here. You can win, if you complete the evaluation, you can win an Xbox One, which I'm really jealous of because I've got five Xbox 360s in my house. Thank you very much.